Last week we spoke of the theme that would be carrying us through these first weeks of ordinary time. And today we get an example of a definite no, a yeah, maybe, and an embracing of that call, of that invitation that Christ has, that God has for every one of us. When we read the entire story of Jonah, we see that his first response was no way. He wanted absolutely nothing to do with this call to be a prophet to the Ninevites. By the time we hear the story today, he's changed a little bit. Okay. But he's still not enthused. He still doesn't want to do it today. I think the story of Jonah is one that we're very familiar with. How he got the call to go to the Ninevites, and he wanted nothing to do with it. The Ninevites were the arch enemies of Israel. They were Assyrians who were living in that city, and they had nothing to do with the Israelites. And even more than that, they were not only the arch enemies, they were really the epitome of evil for the ancient world. But that is where God was sending Jonah. He knew that if he got caught, he would be punished. He probably would be put to death, so we can understand his trepidation, his fear, his reluctance. But the 3 days in the belly of the fish changed him a little bit, at least a little bit. He's still reluctant to be God's voice, but he goes, beginning his trek through the city. 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. And after only one day, something happens that he would never imagine. He didn't think that that would happen even at the end of his journey. The people of Nineveh listened. From the king to the lowest slave, there was an order that all should dress in sackcloth, even the animals, as a sign of repentance. They proclaimed a fast. They believed God and repented. And God saw their actions, and he repents of the evil that he had threatened upon the city. So we contrast Jonah's response to the response of our disciples in our gospel today, simply embracing the call, not knowing what would be coming, but walking with him in any case. We know that this is not the first exposure of these disciples to Christ. Last week we read how they followed him when they heard John the Baptist call, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And they spent time with him, got to know him. But it must have been almost too much for them, because at the end they go and they do, really a very human response. They get back into their comfort zone. They go back to fishing. They don't know what else to do. But now things are changing. John had been arrested, his public life coming to an end. And now we see Jesus walking down the beach, coming upon Simon and his brother Andrew. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This gospel is the good news. The kingdom of God is here now in our midst. It's not something that's going to come at some point in the future. It is here. So Jesus comes to Simon and Andrew, "Come after me and I will make you fishers of men." They had to have no idea what the heck he was talking about. What is a fisher of men? We have an understanding of it, but we're looking backwards at that from some 2,000 years away. They had to know the dangers. They knew what happened to John. They knew how he was opposed not only by the king, but he was opposed by the chief priests, by the chief Pharisees, by the Sadducees. All the leaders of their religious community opposed John. And because Jesus was united with John in a very close way, they were opposed to Jesus as well. And yet, they abandon their nets and follow. A bit further along, they come upon James and John sitting in a boat, mending their nets. And Jesus calls them, and they leave their father with the hired men, embracing the call, the invitation, immediately, with no hesitation. God doesn't wait for our lives to become perfect before he calls us, before he invites us. He calls us in the midst of our work, in the midst of our family life, in the midst of everything that we have going on. The people of Nineveh weren't called to leave Nineveh. They were called to repentance. They were called to a new life. But this new life, built on with their focus on God, was built within the structures of the lives that they had. everything being put in proper perspective. And that really is our baptismal call. We are created for a specific purpose. Each one of us is unique. Each one of us has a unique calling. I can't do yours. You can't do mine. And if I run away and refuse to do mine, it's not going to get done. Someone else isn't going to come along and pick up what I'm called to do. And that is true for every one of us. We've got a call. Our purpose is so much greater than my own happiness in this life. My purpose is so much greater than my success or my prosperity. It's even bigger than my own personal salvation. These things come when we embrace that call, when we embrace that invitation. And it is a call that is offered each and every day. Even if we initially turn away from it like Jonah did, God is persistent. He continues to come. He continues to invite. But it is His plan, not mine. And to follow, we need to leave our nets behind. Nets that entangle us and ensnare us, burden us. And that is not easy. Because these nets grab us where we do not expect. If we look at an example in history, many of our ancestors, when they came to this country, were looking for a new beginning, a fresh start. But what did they find when they got here? The same tensions, the same conflicts, the same darkness. Because these things are in our hearts. We can't pack them up in a case and leave them behind. They only get left behind when we turn and when we fix our gaze on Jesus Christ. When we embrace His call. So are we ready? Am I ready to abandon my nets? The gossiping, the deception, the prejudice, the greed, the arrogance, the egoism, the resentments. All of these and more are nets that reach into our lives and entangle us and keep us from being the person that we are called to be. Are we prepared to follow Jesus Christ? To become His voice, to become His hands into a world that is in dire need. And this is so much more difficult than picking up and moving to a new city. Because as difficult as that is, it can be done with relatively ease. But to enter into that conversion, to enter into that sense of repentance, that is something that is a matter of the heart. And that is something that is very demanding for every one of us. St. Paul gives us a warning about this in our second reading. The world in its present form is passing away. Time is running out. This time for every one of us is coming to a close. We don't know when, but we know that we are one day closer today than we were yesterday. A good friend of mine, a brother priest from up in La Crosse, I was talking to him this week, and this came home to me because he had just gotten back from Hawaii. He was there when the sirens blew and the announcements came on the television, on the radio, that there was a missile heading for Hawaii. What would I do in that situation? It's a good reflection for every one of us. What would I do? So many of the people there were running around. They were panicked. They didn't know what to do. They're picking up manhole covers and stuffing their children into these tunnels under the street. For what purpose? If it was a nuclear warhead on that missile, it's not this world. It's our spiritual life. It's eternal life. Am I prepared? Am I cutting away my nets? Am I ready to follow? We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Are the choices and the actions of my life, do they resemble the people of Nineveh before Jonah? Or do they resemble the people of Nineveh after Jonah? We are called to embrace our baptismal call. Cut away our nets like Andrew, Simon, James, and John. To follow where He leads. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.